Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Our focus this morning is on ordination. More specifically, the call, the confirmation, and the commitment of Chris Cook to the work that God has equipped him to perform in God's kingdom. I was thinking just the other day, it was almost 41 years ago that I was ordained into the ministry. It seemed like a lifetime ago. 40 years have gone by so quickly. And I remember the day that I was ordained. It was tense, to say the least. The process that I went through with ordination was not an easy process for me. Nor for Nancy, because when they questioned me, they questioned her. And when I sat in front of the congregation and the house was full, standing room only, she had to sit beside me, and whatever questions they fired at me, they also fired at her. And she was just as nervous as could be as well. But we got through it, and God has blessed our ministry together. These 40 years, 41 years this year, but it has been a wonderful journey. And so I want to share with you some of the things that I have learned along the way of being an ordained minister, some of the things that have been taught to me by my mentors as I was preparing for the ministry. Our text is going to be found this morning in the book of Acts. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 12, we will begin in verse 25 and read through chapter 13, verse 3. Acts chapter 12, verse 25, and reading through chapter 13 and verse 3. And as you're turning there, I was also thinking these past several days and remembered that this church has ordained seven individuals who have gone on into Christian ministry, and they're scattered throughout the United States, and they're overseas, pastoring churches there as well. So we've had a good representation of First Baptist Church Winton in churches throughout the United States, but we've also ordained about 25 men into the deacon ministry as well. So this church is a church that believes in the call of God upon a person's life, believes in the confirmation of that call, and the commitment of those individuals to carry out the work that God has equipped them to carry out. And so I think that's a great heritage, a great testimony from this church to the work of the kingdom of God here in this place and through this place to wherever God has sent our ministers. Acts chapter 12, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. From the text, I want to draw three primary responsibilities of the Lord, of the church, and of the called with regard to ordination. And so that will form the framework for my comments this morning. The first responsibility in ordination is for the church to recognize the call of the Holy Spirit. To recognize the call of the Holy Spirit. This is unlike the modern practice today where individuals can become ordained, and I use quotes for that, where an individual can be ordained by submitting a certain amount of money online and receiving a certificate of ordination that will then allow them to be classed as a minister and can perform weddings and funerals and do other things that so-called ministers can do. And I say so-called ministers because if it's the internet that has called them, then they are not the ministers of the kingdom of God. Only those who have been called by the Holy Spirit qualify to be classed as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first aspect of this ordination process is to recognize not only the individual being called, but also the church that is entertaining that call, is to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit, not only in the midst of the church, in the body of the church, but also in the life of the individual who's called. Now, I went to school 1,000 years ago and 1,000,000 miles away. Attended classes with individuals, Bible classes, teaching classes, preaching classes, theology classes, church history classes, so on and so forth. And as we talked and as we shared with each other on what these individuals aspired to do, there were quite a number of individuals that had gone to college with me that were in the pastoral ministries disciplines of the school that were nothing more than Mama called and Papa sent. And I've kept track of some of those individuals and have long since left the ministry. And in my thinking, it was because they were never genuinely called by the Holy Spirit of God in the first place. Notice the text. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." As a church, our primary focus is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That is our primary focus. The church is not a religious social club. The church is not a gathering place of individuals to meet together who haven't seen each other for a week and to swap stories on how their week has been, or to share our ideas and our dreams and our goals about what lays in the future, or to get catch up, to get caught up on baseball scores or football scores or what my kid is doing in school or those kinds of things. The church is about the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's not a church. It's certainly not an ecclesia as we understand it to be in the New Testament, those who have been called out by the Holy Spirit to focus their lives upon the work and the person of Jesus Christ. Our primary focus is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to continually seek His face, to know and to do His will by following the leadership of His Holy Spirit, whom He has sent to dwell in us and among us, to accomplish the work of the kingdom until Jesus Christ comes again. Everything else we do comes from the overflow of that calling. Everything else that we do, whether it's evangelism or missions, whether it's teaching or preaching or training leaders to do the work of Jesus Christ in and through the church, all of that comes out of the overflow of our focus on Jesus Christ. Now, Chris joined our church family through the confession of his faith and baptism in the Lord Jesus Christ back on October the 11th of 2009. And through the ministry of this church, and through the teachers and the deacons and the pastors of the church, he has sensed the call of the Lord to ministry. And recently he has sensed the call of the Lord Jesus Christ to pastoral ministry. We have affirmed that call in his life by licensing him to ministry back in April the 27th of 2014. We confirm that call today by ordaining him. So I encourage us as a church to continue to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as he seeks to call out from among us others whom he has set aside, whom he is equipping to go into vocational ministry to serve the Lord Jesus Christ through vocational ministry. Now, Chris, your calling is not to ministry. Your calling has been and shall always be to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and to fulfill the ministry that Jesus Christ has burdened you with until that time he's called you home. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate to me." He did not say, "Separate to the church." He did not say, "Separate to the denomination." He did not separate. He did not say, "Separate to a certain group of individuals." He said, "Separate to me." God has called you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Your service is to the Lord Jesus Christ through the local church. Amen? One day you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to report to him your faithfulness and the fulfillment to him of the calling that's in his life, in your life. That ought not to be a day of fear for you. That ought to be a day of rejoicing. But it will be a day of rejoicing only as you keep the Lord as the focus of your ministry. And dear friends, today, that is lacking in a lot of ministries. Taking our eyes off of Jesus and putting our eyes on the world. Taking our eyes off of Jesus and focusing in on what other churches are doing and how other churches are developing and all of the things that they're doing to claim that they are quote-unquote successful. We're not called to measure our spiritual growth and development by what other people are doing, by what other churches are doing. We are called to follow Jesus. He's called you, Chris. Your calling and your ministry rests in him and in no one else. The second responsibility I want to draw your attention to in ordination belongs to the Christian church. I would have you notice back in Acts chapter 12 and 13, the saints in Antioch confirmed the call of the Holy Spirit upon Barnabas and Saul. Notice what the scripture says. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. That is, the ministers, the church, the people of the church in Antioch sensed the call of the Holy Spirit upon these two men, laid hands upon them, which was the confirmation of authority and responsibility, and then sent these ministers out to do the work that they were called to do. Those are the three basic fundamental things in the ordination process as it pertains to the responsibility of the church. They confirmed the calling of the Holy Spirit through fasting and prayer. They confirmed the calling of Barnabas and Saul by observing the work of the Holy Spirit in and through their lives, and then by laying hands upon them. And then they further confirmed the calling of Barnabas and Saul by sending them out to do the work of ministry. The ministry of the church, the responsibility of the church in the ordination process is to confirm the work that the Holy Spirit has already begun in the life of the individual. This is not a person thing. It's not a personality thing. It is not up to us to decide whether or not an individual is this, that, or the other. It is up to the church to decide. It is up to the church to understand. It is up to the church to recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing in the life of the individual. Sometimes we want to reduce church ministry and pastoral ministry and vocational ministry, whether it's missionaries or evangelists or deacons or whatever. We want to make it a personality contest. It's not a personality contest. The church recognizes and confirms the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. That's all that it is. The greatest harm to ministry, listen, the greatest harm to ministry is to place in leadership those who have not been set aside by the Holy Spirit. That is there are individuals, dear friends, who have not been empowered by the Holy Spirit, not been called by the Holy Spirit, not been gifted by the Holy Spirit to do the work of ministry, and they are the ones that are doing the greatest damage to ministry in our culture today. We have no right to confer on any individual such responsibility who has not been called and equipped by the Holy Spirit of God to minister. On the other hand, the greatest blessing to ministry is when the church gives its leadership the freedom to do the work of God as the Holy Spirit has called them to do it. To give them the freedom to operate within the calling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to do the work of ministry. Too often, the church wants to control the minister and his ministry. That's the Lord's work. That's not our work. Amen? I remember when I came to this fellowship back when Moses was a baby. I remember Jack Greenhill, who was one of the servants in the church at that time. Jack Greenhill came to me and he said, "Pastor, how long do you plan to stay here?" And immediately the wheels began to turn in my head, because when I was ordained to ministry back in 1976, the average tenure of the Baptist pastor was about 3 years. My first pastorate lasted 16 months. And it wasn't because I wasn't called. It was because the church didn't recognize the call. And they were the kind of church, it was the kind of church that wanted to control the minister, that wanted to restrict him and to restrain him from doing the work of ministry. And I know that to be true because the church was about 40 years old and it already had like 30 pastors in its 40-year history. The church needs to set the minister free to do the work that the Holy Spirit has called him to do. Our work is not to burden the minister with ministry. Our work is to set him free to do the work of ministry. Now, Barnabas and Saul accepted the church's confirmation by submitting to what we now call ordination. They had already been called and confirmed by the Holy Spirit, as evidenced by the ministry that they had been conducting. They had come back to the church at Antioch, as we read there in verse 25. They had already come back from doing the work of ministry. They came back to the church at Antioch. The church had witnessed the work that they had done, had acknowledged it was the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so they felt it was time to set these individuals aside and to put their stamp upon the work that Barnabas and Saul were to conduct in their future ministry. Now, Barnabas and Saul received confirmation by the church at Antioch here to continue with the church's blessing to the work that would be performed throughout Asia Minor and ultimately throughout the world. Now, Chris, again, you have been called and you have been set aside in ministry by the Holy Spirit through the gifts that you've received from Him. You have demonstrated this call and have confirmed, it has been confirmed in your heart and in your life by those who have observed your life and observed your ministry. And you have continued to commit your life to this calling in study as well as in ministry and the responsibilities that have been given to you. Now, you're going to receive confirmation from the church to be recognized by the church as a servant of the Lord. That confirmation will come briefly in just a few moments with the laying on of hands. It's important, by the way, that the church make such confirmation. It's important that the individual who is called understands that the church is in agreement with the Holy Spirit's call in the person's life. I remember when I was in high school back in Dos Palos. Some of you know where that is. I was 16 years old. I was a sophomore in high school. And I had sensed earlier on in my life that the Lord wanted me to do something in His kingdom. I didn't know what it was. I kind of sensed what it was, but I wasn't sure. And I remember when Karen and I and Julie, we had gone down to Cal Baptist College, and we had preview day down there and so on and so forth. And we came back to the church, and our pastor then, George Finley, wanted us to give a report on what we had observed and what we had experienced down at Cal Baptist. And so I gave my report. Karen gave hers, Julie Allen gave hers, and afterward there were no less than five people that came up to me and said, God has called you to preach. And I thought to myself, that's the last thing in the world I want to do. Because I already had my mind set on what I wanted to do. I had focused my attention on biological sciences. I was good at it. I excelled in the sciences and really had my heart set on going to some notable university and getting involved in the biological science department, maybe microbiology or whatever like that. I was very, very much into that and really wanted to study that, but I struggled and I struggled and I struggled because the Holy Spirit, I was at odds with myself. And the point I'm trying to make here is sometimes we come to a better understanding of what it is that the Lord wants us to do through individuals in the fellowship who are sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people will come up to us and say, I see that God is doing this in your life and that God is basically calling you into that. And that becomes a confirmation in the person's life. And people have seen that in you. Not everyone. But there are those who've seen that in you. And today they're going to confirm that. The final responsibility in ordination belongs to the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear me carefully. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, would oftentimes discourage men from entering vocational ministry because he believed that ministry was serious business and it must be engaged by the serious-minded individual. He wanted young men. There was the pastor's college there at Metropolitan Tabernacle in London back in the 1800s when Spurgeon served. He had the pastor's college there, and men would come in and they would study, and he would teach, and others would teach, and there would oftentimes be young men that would come to him and talk to him about ministry, and he would basically say, if there's something else that you can do, you go and do it. Because ministry is not for the faint of heart. Ministry is not for the unprepared. Ministry is not for the one who's not called. Ministry is not for the one who looks upon it as being a wonderful and a grand and a great thing to engage in. It's not. It's serious business, and it must be engaged by the serious-minded. Spurgeon understood that the grave responsibility placed upon the ministry is a burden that he cannot bear. It can only be borne by the Holy Spirit in his life. He understood the accountability that ministers have to the Lord and to the church for that ministry. Chris, you've been called by the Holy Spirit of God into vocational Christian ministry. You'll be confirmed by this church in that ministry. Now, you must be committed more than ever to perform that ministry. And believe me, it is work. Look again at our text, verse 2, chapter 13. Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. You've been separated by the Lord unto the Lord, the work. Is a daunting work. And it cannot be engaged by the individual who is co-mingling his life, his mind, his spirit with the things of the world. Aphorisite is the word translated in your Bible, separate. Aphorisite. It means to mark off a boundary. It means to set boundaries. If God has called you to preach, then preach his word. If he's called you to pastor, then shepherd his people. If he's called you to missions, then go wherever he leads you. Do whatever he calls you to do. The Christian minister is separated to the Lord Jesus Christ to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in and through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the boundaries that have been set in your life and in my life by the Holy Spirit of God. I would have you notice that aphorisite is in the first aorist tense. And it means that God has set the boundaries of your calling in the past, even before you recognized it. But those boundaries will continue on in the future until your calling is fulfilled. And so until that time, you just keep on keeping on. It's also in the active voice, which means that you must engage in this calling within the boundaries set by the Lord today and every day until your ministry is fulfilled. There is no vacation from it. There is no retiring from it. My father used to say, it's okay to give out, just don't give up. Aphorisite is also, this idea of separation is also in the imperative mood, which means you must stay within the boundaries of your calling. There have been times when I did not stay within the boundaries of my calling, and I have done harm to the ministry of the Lord, and I have done harm into the lives of other individuals. Don't make that mistake. Fort Gantt, who was an old pastor back in Arkansas, just outside of Mansfield, Arkansas, where I attended church as a little boy. Fort Gantt told me when I was called to the ministry, he said, the minister's life is a happy, hard life. It's never easy, but you'll find happiness in nothing else. You'll find happiness in nothing else than to do the work that God has called you to do. You must persevere until your calling is fulfilled. Now I want you to notice also that you have been separated for the work. The word is ergon. And it means, it's translated work because that's what it means. Work. Ministry is work. It's not play. And I know some of you, you know, you like to joke about that with me. And that's okay. You know, it's all right to joke every now and again. I know there are those of you who will come up to me and say, well, Pastor, you only work one day a week. And my response has been, yes, but it's an 80-hour day. Ministry is work. And it may not necessarily be the kind of work that causes your muscles to strain and to stretch like an individual who's trimming trees, or like an individual who's digging ditches, or like an individual who's lifting weights, or this, that, or the other. There is a physical strain to ministry, yes. There is an emotional strain to ministry, yes. There is a mental strain to ministry, yes. There is certainly a spiritual strain to ministry. It is work. It is not play. Ministry is more than a vocation. It's more than an occupation. Again, I remember some students along with me in college, and I remember one day we had sat down together to talk about ministry and what we wanted to do and what we felt we were going to do. And I remember one individual, and bless his heart, you know, I felt sorry for the guy then, and I still feel sorry for him now. But there was one young man who sat down with us. There was a group of about 8 or 10 of us in the lobby of the men's dorm, and we were talking about ministry, and there was one poor fellow who said, you know, when we were talking about, well, I've been called to ministry, and the other individual said, well, you know, I've been called, and this poor fellow said, well, you know, I want to enter into ministry because I can't do anything else. What? You can't do anything else, and so that's why you're going into ministry? Are you kidding me? And I remember another individual who said, well, it's really good pay for as little work as you have to do. I'm reminded of the attitude of Alexander McLaren, the prince of expositors who pastored in Southampton and Manchester in England in the late 1800s. Every morning, Alexander McLaren would put on a pair of work boots before going to his study to remind him that the study and the practice of the Christian ministry is work. And so he would put on his work boots and go to his study, and he would be reminded by looking at those work boots that he is to engage in the work of ministry. If you were to rightly divide the word of truth, you must first know it. If you were to rightly apply it, you must surrender to it. And that's not easy given our nature, our other responsibilities, and the culture and the world that we're living in. And finally, I want you to notice verse 3 in Acts 13. That the church sent Barnabas and Saul away. The church released them to go out and to do ministry. And ministry is what they did. Barnabas' job was to accompany Saul and to continue to mentor him. Saul's job was to submit to Barnabas' mentorship and to apply the word of God into his life and into the work that he was called to do. Paul went throughout Asia Minor, sharing the gospel, starting churches, discipling believers in the faith, raising up leaders in the local church. And along the way, he had numerous companions: Barnabas, Silas, Luke, John Mark, Timothy, and so on. And so on. He taught them. He learned from them. He traveled to many places with them. He wanted to go to Rome and then to Spain, bringing the gospel to Europe. But the Holy Spirit said, no, you'll do what I want you to do where I want you to do it. Asia Minor was the boundary set by the Lord. Saul obeyed. He set his personal desires aside to honor the desires of the Lord in his life. No one knows where the Lord is going to send you, but wherever it is, you must go. You must share the gospel, start churches, disciple believers, raise up leaders in the church, and everything else that the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Someone came up to me the other day when they asked how long I... Oh, it was Jim Gregory. Jim Gregory, some of you may remember him. Pastor at First Baptist Church in Escalon for a number of years. He is now up in Idaho pastoring a church there. And he asked me the other day, I met with him, and he said, how long have you been at Winton now? And I told him, I said, it'll be 31 years next month. And he said, wow. He said, you've been there a long time. And I said, well, I have no place else to go. And it's not that I haven't gotten calls to go other places. It's just I haven't fulfilled my calling here. When the Holy Spirit tells me to go, I'll go. And when the Holy Spirit tells me to go, you'll be glad that I go. But not for the reasons you think. You'll be glad that I go because you will honor the calling of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. The Lord has called you. The church confirms that calling today. And now you must commit to the Lord and go out and do what it is He's called you to do. One more time, let's look at the passage of Scripture. Acts 12:25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. I'm going to call Chris Cook, if you will, to come and to stand here at the altar. And I'm going to call those who wish to come and to lay hands upon our brother in prayer to please come forward. And I'm going to ask the rest of us to join hands together where you're at in the prayer of confirmation and consecration. So let us all stand, if you will, please. And those of you who will come, please come. God, our Father, this is a high and a holy time in the church. We do not take this lightly. As Spurgeon said, this is serious business. And it must be undertaken by the serious-minded. As Alexander McLaren observed, that which you've called our brother to do is work. And he must commit himself to the work that you have called him. And so today, we confirm your calling in his life. And we, Father, demonstrate our willingness to share in the authority and in the responsibility that you've given to the church, to pass that on to our brother, that he might do the work that you have called him to do. As you have been preparing him, continue that work of preparation, for it will be something he will engage in for the rest of his days. Father, continue to give him a sensitivity to your Holy Spirit that he might discern in his own mind and in his own heart what it is that you would have him to do, to define that ministry in his life and the place in which that ministry is to be conducted. Above everything else, I ask that his mind and his heart will be steadfastly focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might apply himself to the study and to the application of the Word of God in his own life and into the lives of others. Bless him as you have gifted him. Empower him now to demonstrate those gifts of ministry, and may his ministry be a fruitful ministry, not only in the local church to which you have called him, but also into the kingdom of God until that day you call him home. Amen. This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen, 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 and amen. We want to acknowledge the same by this gift of ordination, this certificate of ordination to the gospel ministry, and this gift of an ordination Bible to you, that you will remember this day, and remember that this day is about rightly dividing the word of God's truth.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.